morning, Life Community Church. Come on, give a little clap. What a great morning so far. Wow. Love it, love it. I'm so glad you're here. We're in a series called The Core. My job as your pastor today is to help lead you to understand our church vision and how you can be part of the core group of volunteers and leaders who help build the church. And so through this series, we're talking about different aspects of our vision so that you can be a part of it. But before we go any farther with that, I do want to say welcome home to all our guests. We're so glad you're here. And I also want to just say how proud I am of our students and how amazing they are. And so we love you. I also want to say one last thing before I jump in. I'm glad to be home here too, because last week I had an opportunity with our whole family to go celebrate my dad's 80th birthday. And so we were in the mountains, and he's just, man, he's a dynamic 80-year-old man who is smart as ever. And so it's just great to celebrate him with our family. But then Harriet and I had the opportunity to stay through the weekend, and I got to preach in my home church that I grew up in, and so it was great, and so I love it. There's something special about being at your home church that you grew up in and getting to preach there, and it's just great. Kind of like, I hope that some of the students that went on this camp who are growing up in this church, because I was in high school and middle school in my church I grew up in, and then I got to go back and preach. So I hope some of you that went on that camp one day come here and preach. That's what I'm saying. So if you agree with that, church, go on, give it a little clap. It's awesome. All right, so let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we get to gather as a church body. We do lift up all those students. We thank you for their hearts. And God, I pray that you would just continue to set their hearts on fire for the kingdom. Lord, we pray that your word today would come out smooth and clear. We'd be able to understand it. We would grab a hold of it. We'd live it. Let your word be powerful through us. In Jesus' name. Anybody say amen? Amen. So what I want to do is to continue to remind you of our vision and then some of our purpose statements, just so we can all gravitate to those and grab a hold of it. And so I'm going to have you read the second half of this. Life Community Church is, everybody say this with me, helping you find life in Jesus. Helping you find life in Jesus. And we didn't do that very well because we don't normally do that. But great job helping you find life in Jesus. So maybe it might help with a verse. Let me take you to a verse. And this is out of 1 John 5:12. Whoever has the Son has life. And this has been the verse that has driven this church since the day we birthed this church. And whoever has the Son, what that means is whoever believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior has life. The second half of this statement, though, is probably what motivates me, our staff, our church, to give our all, is that whoever does not have the Son, whoever does not believe in Jesus, does not have eternal life. And that moves us. And we want to help every person in this city find life in Jesus. And not only here, not only at this building, but we want to help you help others find life in your family, in your neighborhood, in your schools, where you work. And not only in Wilmington, we want to plant churches. We have a church in Tampa, Florida. They're having service today. They're helping people find life in Jesus. We planted a church in Savannah, Georgia. They're helping people find life in Jesus. Next year, we're helping plant a church in Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to help them find life in Jesus. We're going to take mission trips, and we're going to help people all over the world find life through Jesus Christ. Come on, church, give that an amen. Now, we have five spiritual purposes that every person should build their life upon. And spiritual purposes become the foundation that you build your life in. Like there's, like just think about your hand. You have five fingers, and each of those represents a spiritual purpose that becomes a foundation that you can hold things in. So I'm holding this microphone with the five fingers, and we have spiritual purposes that we can build our life on. Now, I'm not promising you that your life is going to be perfect, but if you'll build your life on spiritual principles, then when life comes along, you have a foundation that can sustain you and help you and keep you strong through it all. In the scriptures, in the book of Matthew, it states it like this. It says, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. though the rain comes and the torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. It's built on a solid rock. And we want to build our life on spiritual purposes that become the bedrock of our life so that when the rains come, you have the strength through the power of God to sustain whatever comes into your life. The scripture goes on to say, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. Then when the rains come and the floods come, and let me just FYI, every person is going to experience the troubles and the rains of life, and you're going to want something to have your house, your spiritual foundation built upon. And if you build it on the rock, you'll be strong through it. If you build it on sand, it says it will collapse like a mighty crash. So what are those five purposes? Let me explain these five purposes that you should build your life. All of us need to build our life on these five spiritual purposes. And the first is evangelism. And this is how you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe that life begins at a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the first foundation that you'll build your life on. The second spiritual purpose is worship. Worship is how we make Jesus the center of our life. And so Jesus needs to be the center of everything we do. He needs to be the main thing, the priority of our life, Jesus. The third spiritual principle is growth. We need to have a life that is growing in the Lord. We want to be growing forward instead of going backwards in our walk with God. We need to grow. I believe that God puts the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, but we have to water those so they become fruits of the Spirit in our life. And so we want to talk about that and teach you. The fourth principle, spiritual purpose, is community. Community is actually a spiritual concept when you put yourself in the life of other believers that can strengthen you and you can strengthen them. We need each other. We need a spiritual community to help build a solid foundation for our life. And then the last spiritual purpose is purpose. Purpose is how we help you discover why God created you, why you're here on earth, why your life matters and your life does matter. We just want to help you discover what it's all about. Because when you have purpose, then life like has fulfillment in it. It has a way of living that brings satisfaction to your life. And so we want to help every person find their purpose and live out all that God has for them. I think it's important that we help you, church body, get strong spiritual foundations. We need a spiritual strong foundation. And here's why. Because in, I call it a couple years, roughly, we're going to build a building. It's going to be big, and there's going to be so many people come to see what we're doing. And if we have built that building on sand, and what is sand? Because a building isn't a building. The church isn't a building. The church is people. And I have to have strong foundation of people that can minister back to the people that come to the house. We need to have I need a bunch of people that are in the core leadership and volunteers of our church so that as God brings people to us, we have so many people that are equipped and ready to help people through ministry. You have a ministry that God wants to do through you. Matter of fact, we don't need to wait until we build a building to experience people come, because God will bless us here when we build a strong core. Amen? So we're building a core. You are the core. Let me explain to you how you get to the core. We have a bullseye. We want to hit the bullseye. Right in the middle is core. And so looking at the outer ring, that's the city. In our city, there's somewhere around 200, at least 200,000 people that live somewhere around this building. People for us to reach. Help find life through Jesus. That's our target market. There's 200,000 people that need to hear about Jesus. And so what we want to do is have events, bridge events. We want to invite people. We want to do everything we can to help people come to the next ring, which is congregation. We want to bring people to a place just like this where they get to worship together. They get to hear the message of Christ. They get to hear the word of God, and they get to worship. And so that's the next ring. And so what we want to do is move people from the city to the congregation, and then committed, what are we committed to? We're committed to growth. We want to help people grow, and that'll be your next step. How do you grow? We'll show you how to grow. The next level is being connected to a community. We want to be connected to a small group and a serve team so that we can be part of this community so that it has a depth of friendships to it. And so we want to help you with that. And then last, we want to teach you how to find your purpose, which is the core. That's the group of people that are going to learn how to find their purpose and live it out. And God has such a great plan to help you figure out what he wants to do through your life, because he wants to do great things in you. And so we're going to help you do that. Amen, church? So what we have been doing is going through these five purposes that will take you to the core. 2 weeks ago, we talked about evangelism, how you can begin a relationship with Christ. Today, we're going to talk about worship. And I want to take a few minutes today and just kind of teach us what worship means to us. And my sermon title today is Centered on Jesus. Centered on Jesus. Everybody just think about that for a second, because I have a fill in the blank coming up, and that's the clue. All right. So listen, you wish that your college exams were as easy as I'm getting ready to make this. All right. So everybody say centered on Jesus. Now let's look at this blank. I want you to fill this in. My blank is the center of my life. All right. So the answer, you know the answer. And you wouldn't admit this, but sometimes we actually live without Jesus being the center of our life. Sometimes we live with great values, but sometimes we might put like my family or my children are the center of my life. And that's quite honorable. And as a parent, like, you know, that ought to be pretty important to you. Like, that ought to be way high on your list. Family, children. And so I admire that, but I want you to know that your children can't be the center of your life. Amen. Let me ask this. Let me just preach it over here a second. They didn't get it. Your children, your spouse isn't the center of your life. Jesus has to be the center of your life. Come on. All right, so we got to get that. Sometimes we live with our business being the center of our life. Some of you own businesses, and I admire that. And for the most part, those business leaders have a sense of duty and calling in that. And it's really important. Maybe you came from a background to where maybe your family had no money. And part of your, you know, passion is to provide for your family in a way that they won't have to grow up the way you grew up. And so it becomes a passion of yours to help provide for your family and maybe even give back to the kingdom. And those are great things. I admire that, should be there. But it still can't be the center of your life. Maybe you might think, well, my education right now, my college degree is the center of my life. And that's something to admire. You know, maybe for you, you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I'm the first person in my entire family to go to college and get a degree. And I want my parents to be so proud. And so I'm gonna work so hard to make my grades and succeed. And that becomes the center of your life. And as good as that is, and as much as we want to applaud you, and as much as you ought to give your all to school, it still can't be the center of your life. So what does the Bible say should be the center of our life? If you look with me at Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. And it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Everybody say seek. 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 We seek the kingdom of God above all else. Like, the thing that should matter the most to us should be the kingdom of God above all else, above work, above family, above everything, above education. God is first. God alone above all else. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, this is Jesus, and he replied this way about the scriptures. He said, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Like, he has to be the center of your life. It's God. We worship him. He is everything to us. And the Bible teaches us that we make him the center of our life. Now, none of us would ever admit those other things are the center of our life. But Scripture teaches us that we've got to make this effort to make it the center of our life. One of the most important ways we demonstrate that God is the center of our life is through our attending a church service, a worship service, just like today. Now, today, you all get a break. You're here. So, you can pat yourself on the back. I'm here. I'm at church. And so, good job. So, this is an easy sermon for you. This is going to be easy for you. But listen, attending church is one of the ways, and probably the most significant ways, that you demonstrate that you worship God, that He is the center of your life. I mean, think about this. Sunday is the first day of the week, and what's the first thing you should do? You should honor God with your life. You should honor God with your time, and you should come to church and say, God, I want to give you my life today. I want to demonstrate through my actions that God is my God, and I serve Him and Him alone. Amen? And so I want to just go through some of the elements of our service to show you how our church services are designed to help you worship God in Him and Him alone. And the first thing is worship is singing together to glorify God. So sometimes we call the music part of our service, we call it praise and worship, and that's a good name, nothing wrong with that. But music is not the only way we worship God, but it's definitely an important and powerful way we worship the Lord. I love how the Message version teaches the church how to worship. And it says this in Psalms 32:11. It says, celebrate God. Amen to that. Amen. Sing together, everyone. Now, does that mean everyone? Yes. Hey, do you know that you cannot watch worship? Like, they can worship. You could admire them. Look at them go. Woohoo! But that's not you worshiping. You know, some people try to worship from a TV and they see it. They watch people do stuff and they're like, I'm at worship. No, you're not. They're at worship. You're just cheering them on. Good job. Good worship. Good worship. Everyone, all you honest hearts, raise the roof. Man, worship, worship. Worship ought to be full of passion. A celebration, it says. A celebration of God. What are we celebrating when you worship? Well, let me help you so you don't have to answer it. I'm filling in all the blanks today. What are you worshiping? Well, first of all, we worship what Christ has done in our life. We look back and we think, man, He has saved me. He has put my feet on a solid foundation. He has delivered me. He has given me freedom and blessed my life. And so one of the reasons I worship is I look back at what Christ has done in my life. And then I think about right now. Like, the Holy Spirit is present today. We serve a present God who cares about your needs today, and He's involved in your life. Every day you can get up and say, God, I need You. Would You be in my life? Would you meet my needs today? Would You give me strength for my job? And the Holy Spirit's like, I got You. I'm here. He's present. So why do we praise God? Why do we worship God? For our past, for the present. But I also, regardless of my circumstances, know that my future is secure in Him. Heaven is mine forever. I'll get to live with Him. So no matter how bad it is today, I got a future that I can praise God for. You see, we come to church to worship God and glorify His name. You see, I love our team. Like, they good. Everybody say they good, because they're good. They crush it all the time. But let me just tell you something. It doesn't matter whether they good or not. We don't come to church to be entertained and see how good they are. We come to church because Jesus is good and I worship Him. If they stink, let's just say they have a bad day. They rarely do. I can't remember ever them having a bad day. Let's just say they totally miss the lyrics and bomb it. And you know what? That doesn't matter. Because I didn't come for them. I came because in my heart, I want to give God glory because I worship Him and Him alone. That's why you're here. It takes the pressure off of performance when we come to praise. That's a good line. Thank you. Worship is praying to God for one another for healing and strength. Worship is praying. I love it when we wind down our worship. Pastor Gina today invited you to come to get prayer. Prayer is powerful, but it's a place of worship because we're totally relying on Jesus for our needs and for strength and for healing. We believe God's a present God can heal you. We believe He can set you free. And it's important that in this moment in our church service, that if you have a need, you come to be prayed for. Like, this is worship. And if you don't come to the front, that's okay. Maybe you want to just encounter God's presence at your seat. So don't unhook because it's kind of quiet. We ask our worship team to tone it down a little bit so that you can hear God speak to you and you can have this moment with God. And you can either disconnect or you can go deeper at that moment. And so I would encourage you, even at your seat, you can just go, God, I just want to experience you. And you know what? He wants to hear your voice too. You know, these people at the front, they're great people, but they're not super saints in any way. You can pray for yourself and God can do great things. So take that opportunity to worship him through prayer. The Bible teaches us that if you confess your sins to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. An earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The next thing we do in our church service to help you worship, to help me worship, is we have communion. And so worship is remembering Jesus' sacrifice for our salvation through communion. One of the things we do every week is we set up tables in the back corners over there. And we invite you to go to the table to remember what Christ has done in your life. And maybe if you've been a booger like I was, then you have a lot to be thankful for when you get to that table. He set me free from a lot. And I know some of you all, you have a lot to be thankful for. Isn't that right, Jody? So when you go to the table, let me give you a verse to explain it real quick. This is Corinthians. It says, I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body. So Jesus is saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And what did he say? Dude, remember, do this in remembrance of me. Well, remembering his body that was broken for us. In verse 25, it says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And so we're instructed that we should take communion on a regular basis so that we can remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so I want to encourage you that when we have this moment where you get to walk around the room for a minute, go get in line and make your way over to the table and take the little wafer that's there. We have little wafers, and for you gluten-free people, we've got some gluten-free stuff for you. But for the rest of us, you take that wafer and you dip it in the juice. And just before you eat it, I would recommend that you remember Christ. You say, oh, thank you for saving me. Thank you. I love you. I so appreciate it. And let that be a moment of worship. Because what can happen, honestly, because we do it every week, you could get into a little bit of a routine. You know, you could get in the line. You know, you're working your way up to the table. You know, it's slow. You know, the people in front of you are like, oh, will they ever get there? And so, you know, but you finally get there, and you could be like, and move on. Like, I got a little snack. Well, listen, it's not snack time. You ought to take that, dip it in juice, and step to the side, and then have a moment where you worship God and you say, thank you, Jesus. I needed you. I couldn't do this on my own. And then you eat it. Worship is hearing God's word through preaching. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And whoever's speaking, today it's me, obviously, but whoever is you know, preaching the word of God, their only job really is to take the scripture and try to make it easy to understand and then help you apply it in your life. Now, hopefully, I and whoever's speaking, you know, adds a little energy to it, maybe is a little entertaining along the way just to keep you engaged. But let me just be honest with you. It doesn't matter how entertaining I am, because the word of God is powerful, and if you'll lean into it and you'll grab a hold of it, it'll change your life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a word from men, but as the truth, the true word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The word will work in you. And so I want to encourage you to worship during preaching. Worship, in other words, focus. Lean into the word. Be hungry for God's word. You know, there are sometimes when I'm speaking, I can tell when you're hungry. There are times when you're speaking, I can go, they really want what I'm having to say. There are other times I'm like, they could care less. They're ready to be at the beach. I want to encourage you to take notes. Why do you take notes? Because you're not that smart. Monday, you'll forget what I said. We use the phrase a lot, lean into the message. Like, I'm hungry for it. Amen the preacher every now and then. Do you know why you amen? It's not for me. Amen means I agree. And when you come into agreement, it activates the word of God in your life. And so when you say amen, it's not about me. It's about you going, I want that. I need that. Change me, oh Lord. You ought to be saying amen about every 2 seconds because, Lord, I need you today. Amen, church. Y'all are great. Worship is giving back to God some of what God has given me. Worship is giving back to God. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That was good, wasn't it? I got that from Rick Warren. Hey, let me say it again. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When Harriet and I first were engaged, I was broke. Not because I didn't have an income, because I wanted to give her everything. Every time I showed up, I had flowers, I had something to give. I wanted, why? Because when you love, you give. Now, I probably ought to still be giving. But I don't want to be broke all my life. But there's something about when you love, you give. And worship is about expressing our love to God through giving. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is an act of worship. I think a lot of people think that at the end of our service, when we get to the giving part, that you go, oh, church is over. And you know what? I see it happening. Sometimes, you know, we'll say, hey, time to take up the offering. And people start gathering up all their stuff. Listen, one of the most important parts of worship is giving back to God. And so instead of gathering up your stuff, you ought to pause and say, God, I want to give back to you. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for this offering. And the amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. So it's pretty basic. If you earn a whole bunch of money, you ought to bring a portion of a whole bunch of money. If you didn't earn as much money, then you bring a portion of not as much money. If you earn no money, then you just get to tap the bucket on the way by. But you know what? You can be postured for worship in giving instead of postured for lunch. That's not a KFC chicken bucket coming around. Forget it. My last point. Anybody hungry? I want some chicken today. Maybe I am thinking about chicken. I don't know. My last point, and I'm closing with this last point. Worship is meeting together with other believers. Your presence in church is important because what you're doing is you're demonstrating that you're putting God first at the very beginning of your week, and you're honoring him with your life, and you're showing up here. You're not coming to check off the box. You're coming because God is worthy of your time. God is worthy of your effort. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate each other, acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as those other people do. I add that in. You're here, so God bless you. But encourage one another. Here's a thought. On Sunday morning, when you get up and you start getting ready for church, I believe you're beginning worship right then. Why? Because you've made a decision. I'm putting him first. And you know what happens so often, and you can testify to this, that the moment you begin to get ready for church, the enemy comes against you. There have been more arguments at home on Sunday morning than any other time of the week. Your kids have never been more disorganized and lost all their clothes and shoes and than on Sunday morning. I look at some of you young families and you show up to church and you're limping, spit up, your hair's, your kids have different shoes on, and I want to say you're a hero because you put God first when it's so hard, it's so difficult. You may look like a mess, but your life is really together because you're building it on a foundation of worship. And so I admire you. You keep coming. We'll help you put your kids' shoes on for you. Let me close with a couple thoughts. What's at the center of your life? And does your commitment to being at church on Sunday reflect your worship to God? So like every week, maybe just for this moment, would you make a fresh commitment and say, Lord, I want to worship you with my life, and it starts on Sunday. Maybe you need to make a fresh commitment that this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to worship him. Let's close our eyes for just a moment. Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that we're building a church on solid spiritual purposes. And one of our purposes, God, is to worship. And Lord, we demonstrate that by coming to church and engaging in a church service that helps us make you the center of our life. If you're here today and you just need to make a fresh commitment to that, would you just in your own words just say, God, would you help me to prioritize worship, prioritize you? I want to build my life. Just tell him, I want to build my life on you. I want to build my whole life around Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. God bless.